to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Puck Guys Podcast. What's going on, friend?
Hey, how you doing?
Nasally, so yeah. My voice sounds even sexier than normal.
Right? I was just going to say, it's getting me all warm.
Yeah, man, it's all this... climate change, pollen coming at my face.
Climate change.
Never had an issue with allergies until I think this year. I guess the effects of being old.
Yeah, pretty much. I've never had allergies before whatsoever, and Marie is just like she's always had them, and I'm just like, man, toughen up. But now I'm getting them too, so I'm like, damn it, this sucks.
It sucks. Not breathing stuff sucks.
Yeah,
it doesn't hit me as hard as everyone else though, which is good.
Yeah, it turns out breathing's important.
Yeah,
to your overall health.
And so. You know, I appreciate everyone tuning in for that bit of time you'll never get back to talk. Jay and I talk about
how
our allergies.
Old, yeah. Jay and Pat get old.
Yeah. And they're only 34. Right. What an amazing freaking story. All right. So round two is done. Round three is underway as of yesterday. We had articles sent out to the Grueling Truth, which I'll talk about here right now because give them the shout out. I would say go to gruelingtruth.net yesterday, but the website was down, and for good reason, because having over 34 million hits on a website in a month does things to your server that it cannot handle the load, and time to get a new server. So they're changing from HostGator to a new server. Yeah. Things should be back up and running.
Do you think it's because of us? We're just bringing all that extra traffic.
God, no. I mean, absolutely, yes.
I mean,
absolutely,
yes. Keep us around, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Mike and everyone at gruelingtruth.net that helps us out, posts our show, posts our articles. Mm-hmm. We have articles that are going to be there today or tomorrow, whenever the website's back up. So it's kind of not on anybody, just a circumstance, but it's our picks. I did the Western Conference. You did the East. So you want to go, and if you want to read more in depth after what we talk about here, please feel free to go and check them out. Mm-hmm. Let's get this underway, man.
All right.
Round three previews. Let's just kick the show off with that. Let's start with you in the East the Bolts and the Caps.
Yes.
Spoiler alert if you didn't already know about round two. Kind of wanted to switch it up and just do round three is more relevant. Everyone knows the endings.
We're pretty much in there. They don't give us a whole lot of time in between series anymore. Remember when you used to get like
a day
or two or something like that before they start the next one? They're not wasting any time. So right away after the West was finally decided, the very next day, which was yesterday, the Caps and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ovi in the conference final.
Mm-hmm. So, finally slays that demon that is the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Crosby effect. So they finally get their shot at the third round. Ovi's never been here. Pretty much anyone on that Washington team that's been on that team for a while has known the struggles they've had getting through the first two rounds. It's the first time in 20 years the Capitals have ever gone to the third round of the playoffs. So
the last time was in 98.
98. Peter Bondra was on the
dude,
Washington Capitals.
Olaf Kolzig. I remember that.
Yes.
They played against Detroit, right?
Do you know what country Olaf Kolzig was from?
Oh, boy.
So Olaf.
South Africa?
So it's Olaf, yeah.
It's from South Africa, right?
It's from South Africa, yeah.
So.
But, his parents were German, but he was born in South Africa. A little tidbit there. And a player who doesn't play anymore. so these two teams, you kind of would think on paper we're going to match up at some point. The Lightning were the best team in the Eastern Conference, obviously first in their division, the Atlantic, and the Capitals were first in the Metropolitan. And very rarely do those two teams actually come all the way together and meet. The season series was won a little bit by Tampa. They were 2-1. Washington was 1-1-1. So one of those games was an overtime win for Tampa. So kind of looking at everything that Tampa has on the forward side, the top end talent is good on both sides. Washington, I mean, it's got Ovi's 49 goals. They got Kuznetsov. They've got Oshie in there. They usually have Backstrom, but he was injured in game six against Pittsburgh. Took a puck to the back of the hand. Did not play. I'm sorry. He got that game five and missed game six. He is skating. He is doing some puck handling skills, but it's considered day-to-day. And until he starts actually taking shots with that hand, it looks like he's going to continue to be day-to-day.
So he didn't play game one.
He did not play game one. So he missed that one. My predictions that I have here came before they ever played a game. You know, kind of, you know, even though a game is gone.
Spoiler, Caps are up 1-0 in the series.
So my big concern with the forwards was kind of the fact that Tampa Bay can roll four lines. They do it very well, just like Vegas does, where it's every line has a potential threat. You either have a Steven Stamkos with a Kucherov on the top line. Your second line, Braden Point, has been just insane at A, shutting everything down. He did that against Taylor Hall. He did it against the Bergeron line in the second round, Boston. And now he's not only has he done that, they've been scoring, and he's been scoring a ton. And he's got Tyler Johnson on there, who leads or has the record for Tampa Bay's playoff goals. He's got more than Stamkos has in the playoffs. So, I mean, that second line not only can shut you down, but they can also go ahead and score goals. I think that's probably a good way to shut you down if you're busy with the puck scoring goals. Third line is the third line. It's got Killorn in that. He's a really good third line guy that I think could possibly put up points in the right situation. And then the fourth line basically has Chris Kunitz, who's won four Stanley Cups, two different teams, Pittsburgh and Anaheim. So you've got experience there. You know what it takes, a little bit of that leadership, the older player telling guys, hey, this is kind of what we need to do. But Tampa Bay itself has been here three times in the conference finals over the last 4 years. So this is a team that is kind of already aware of what it takes, what needs to be done. And Washington's forwards, this is kind of new territory for a lot of them. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. I think because Tampa Bay can roll those four lines, the forwards are going to probably be an advantage for Tampa Bay over Washington.
Okay. But what about Ovechkin?
There's the Ovechkin factor.
Yeah.
He will be a factor, and I think Washington can actually win the series. It is a possibility, and this, I said this with in the Boston series against Tampa Bay as well. Tampa had one of the worst, I'm talking bottom fifth or bottom sixth in the league, at penalty killing. They're horrible.
They got lit up last night.
They got lit up for two, and Ovechkin scored one of them with like 6 seconds or something left in the
first
period.
On an awful
period.
Play. That's it so awful.
Yeah, so it's just that's the key to beating Tampa, because 5-on-5, they're good. That second line can shut down a top line. Obviously, they have a bigger task in stopping Washington, which can roll more than just a top line or just a top player like New Jersey or Boston. So they have their work cut out for them, but that power play is so bad and the key. So if Washington can get them to take penalties, draw them into that better than Boston did, that's their little key, the little nugget to get in there. Their special teams is better, and yes, Ovi's a huge part of that, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. He had a great bounce back season this year with goals, and he's still doing it in the playoffs.
He's tearing it up in the playoffs right now.
Absolutely. So,
what's your final analysis? How's that series
going? Final analysis, and I always kind of try and go to the also the goaltending is going to be another epic goaltending matchup. You have Holtby, who's 28 years old, kind of exercised his demons a little bit, getting past Pittsburgh, which he hadn't done before, getting to that third round, and has looked good doing it. He's got an 8-3 record. Vasilevskiy had, prior to losing, an 8-2 record. But very good save percentage and goals for. I actually kind of picked this one as a tie. They're just kind of at different points in their career. Vasilevskiy's starting out. Holtby's kind of in the, all right, I got a few more years. He's still great. He's still up there. They're at the same skill level. I actually have that as a wash. But my gut goes with the team that can roll four lines because one or two lines can go cold, and that can be rough. So I have Tampa Bay in 6 on this one.
I have Caps in 7, if I had to give my pick on that.
It's so tough.
It is, but I just feel like Holtby's better than Vasilevskiy, and I feel that John Carlson's going to be a factor in this series on the back end for the Caps. And I just don't want anyone to stop Ovechkin right now.
Yeah.
I just don't. I want to see him go all the way and win the cup, and then just piss all over everybody. He's been giving him a hard time these past few years. Everywhere that guy goes, in hockey circles or fans, they just like to remind him, you don't have a cup. You're going to be the greatest scoring winger ever, but you don't have a Stanley Cup. It means you suck.
Or even got to the finals.
Never been there, man. Never been to the show.
Yeah, that's one thing. But, yeah, I mean, even with Carlson having, you know, he led the NHL for defensemen in points with 68. But on the other side, you have Victor Hedman, who was 5th in the points and tied for 1st in goals from a defenseman. So On defense, they kind of match up fairly good as well.
Oh, I would say Tampa's, I mean, on paper has the edge.
Yeah, they have it because if you look at, they each have that top end goal scoring or offensive defenseman, Carlson for Washington, Hedman for Tampa. And then after that, the top four just works out better in Tampa Bay's favor. Ryan McDonagh has played against Ovechkin in the playoffs a lot during the regular season. He's going to be matching up against him, in the 5-on-5 even strength. So there's some familiarity as I try and speak. I knew I was going to screw that word up. You ever have words where you just can't say it right?
Yes.
What's yours? Familiarity.
Compartmentalize. I can't say that word. I don't know. That's the hardest one for me.
Compartmentalize?
Yeah, I can't say
that. I can say that one fine, yeah, but yeah. Familiarity.
Familiarity?
Yeah, see? That one. How about this? I'll just point to you and you say that for the next time. But then if you look, there's Sergachev on the third line pairing for Tampa.
Beast.
Like I said, McDonagh is on that second line.
Strawman.
Yeah, Strawman is there too. And then if you look on the other side, there's Orlov. Eh. Yeah. There's Niskanen. He's a good
He's
shutdown.
Okay.
He's a good shutdown defenseman. But then you got Brooks Orpik.
Oof.
And then it's just kind of the talent level kind of drops off from there. So Tampa definitely has the advantage in forwards, defense. Goaltending is a wash for me. It's just that X factor of special teams and really the injury. If Burakovsky can come back, he seems further away than Backstrom. If Backstrom can get back, that just kind of helps bolster that team a little bit. It's a nice first win, but Tampa Bay also had a horrific game one against Boston and then went on to win the next four games.
Right.
So it's kind of up in the air, but I could see it going the other way. Like I said, the biggest advantage for Washington is their lethal power play.
Yeah, and they got Ovi just sitting there all day
wiring
one-timers. No one knows how to stop it.
Yeah, pretty much. And as good as you are and as young as you are as a goalie, Vasilevskiy, sometimes you just can't stop those.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry.
I mean, I could. I mean,
I mean, easily.
I'm so good.
The Western Conference final is going to be the Vegas Golden Knights and the Winnipeg Jets. What in the hell is happening in the world here?
What was that thing that you said before? Like, if you had...
I was reading an article.
Yeah.
If you went back to yourself in the beginning of the season and fast forwarded till now with all the thoughts you had about how the year was going to go, and then someone told you the Winnipeg Jets and the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be in the Western Conference Final.
One of those teams is going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes. And you're going to be like, wait a minute, not Edmonton or Chicago? No, they both missed the playoffs.
All right, you're full of crap, self.
Yeah, that was on The Athletic. I got to give credit. That was Dom on The Athletic. He wrote his article.
That was a goodie.
Speaking of these two teams, Vegas rolled through L.A., no big deal. They dominated. If not for Quick, that series would have been embarrassingly bad.
Yep.
As we've talked about several weeks ago now. And then the Sharks series, although closer, Vegas was just too much and too much too often. Get through them there. A large part to Fleury as well.
Yeah.
Plus, they were getting a lot of scoring off that top line, which helps. This is the biggest problem Vegas is going to have going into the series, is they have never faced a team in a series like the Jets. Obviously, they've only been in two series in their history. But, I mean, the Sharks had Pavelski, Logan Couture, and then Brent Burns on the back end. Jones is a very good goalie.
Yep.
The Kings really didn't have any scoring to match with what Quick was doing. The Jets have Connor Hellebuyck, Vezina Trophy candidate.
Finalist.
They have Byfuglien, who is not Brent Burns,
no.
I understand, but he's a good two-way guy. He's got 11 points, which is good for him, and he's a monster, and you don't want to get in his way.
Absolutely. Once he starts going, he's one of the top five easily defensemen for me in the NHL. When he's in his mode, beast mode, or whatever you want to call it, when he's being mean, he's hurting you, and he's also putting up numbers.
And let's just put it this way. The, I don't want to drag this preview out because we got to talk about the end of it, but Marc-Andre Fleury is the X factor for me in this.
Yeah.
I think he's the one who can kind of change the tide. He doesn't have the defense in front of him that Nashville had, that Winnipeg walked through. I mean, Winnipeg literally destroyed Pekka Rinne and Nashville's defense on most nights. I mean, destroying him in Game 7. I mean, just what an awful night for Pecorino, yes. Giving up two softies in the very beginning of the game.
Pulled, yanked.
Awful, awful. Yeah. He had horrible playoffs. And he has a really bad playoff record and really bad playoff numbers, by the way.
Yeah.
Which everyone likes to talk about how great he is all year. Uh-huh. That's fine. In the regular season, the playoffs are a different story. Winnipeg is going to win this series in six. As much as I would, my heart says take Vegas just because it's funny and it's great. And why not have the story that goes, you know, it's going to be ridiculous if they win the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. It ends here. Yeah. There's just, the Jets can roll, Stastny and Ehlers and Laine on a second line. And then on the top line, you got Scheifele and Wheeler. That's just too much speed, too much size. Vegas can't handle that. After Vegas's top line, they don't have a lot of scoring, and they get no scoring from the back end. McNabb and Derek Englund and Schmidt, all good defensemen.
We're not supposed to cuss on here, dude.
Yeah, no. Schmidt is they're all good, but they're not scoring in the playoffs, and they're not getting any firepower from back there. So I can't pick the Knights. I'm going to say Vegas effect gets them a game or two. I mean, obviously, in my
so if it wasn't the Vegas effect, you'd think it'd be
and Fleury.
A clean sweep
and Fleury.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. If not for Fleury, this could be a 4 or 5 game series.
Oh, man.
And you know what? Pete goaltending, as we know, drops eventually. Yeah. I mean, Fleury's had an insane run, and it happened to Pecorino finally when he went to the Stanley Cup final. He started throwing in some duds, and they weren't very competitive against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But I love Marc-Andre Fleury.
He's a battler.
I just feel that it's just their time has come, and it's going to be in 6 games here.
Man, you are a glutton for punishment. You don't like picking Vegas except for last series. But, I can't go against Vegas because I'm tired of being wrong. Until they prove me wrong about how they can't win, then I think I got to go with them. Same with you. I think these two teams match up pretty awesomely in the fact that we're going to get a lot of offense. We should get a lot of great goaltending. Defense, obviously, would probably go more the way of Winnipeg, but I just think that mentality that they've had throughout the season, the fact that they can roll four lines, even though if not all four lines are really putting up numbers, they're putting up pressure. And same with Hellebuck putting up crazy numbers this year. He's never done this before. These guys have never played this late ever in the postseason as far as Winnipeg. They've never even won a playoff game until this, both teams actually. So in my opinion, I think you have so much of that momentum going forward. Everyone, you know, just clicking at the same rate. They've only lost 2 games all playoffs. I find it hard for them to lose 4 of the next 7. Even though Winnipeg will provide a really good test for them. But I would probably say Vegas in 7.
No, get out of here.
Vegas 7.
Winnipeg's offense is way more potent than you're looking at the Sharks and looking at the Kings. Mm-hmm. The Knights have not had to face that. Mm-hmm. And Winnipeg walked through, like I just said, probably the best top 4 in hockey in Nashville. And albeit that Rene did not play well.
A lot of crap goals.
But on the other end of that, Nashville...
I think he got pulled like 3 times in that series.
I mean, Nashville's offense isn't amazing, but it's better than Vegas's offense overall. I mean, Nashville won the President's Trophy. They have enough numbers everywhere to... They were the heavy favorites going into the playoffs to win a cup.
I got to think that Vegas was what had a better offense, right? The end of the season, they had more goals. I don't know.
I mean, from all around, I mean, you can't put in more goals from the blue line than what Nashville did.
Yeah, obviously. Nashville did the best from a defense.
I'm talking all
offense.
Around. Like, Nashville killed it from every angle this regular season. Playoffs, they were killing it until Rene decided
Vegas.
To fall.
Yeah.
I can't see Vegas winning 4 games. I just can't see them doing it.
Well, you couldn't see them get into the playoffs.
I picked them.
Well, you couldn't see them winning the division. Well, you couldn't see them winning the first round. You saw them win the second round, but now you can't see them in the third round.
No, because the Pacific Division is trash.
Okay, all right.
They're the class of that division, and that's not a really strong class to be the best of. You, big deal. You beat 2 Pacific Division teams that were relatively harmless to you, and I feel like Winnipeg is just so dangerous from every angle. Laine's not even putting up crazy numbers. Mark Scheifele had 7 goals in the second round.
Yeah, well, one was an empty net.
Whatever.
At least one.
Whatever.
Well, like you said, you can't really predict it all that well, so it's a good thing you got all of your predictions from the last round wrong.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Oh, wait.
That was the best thing ever. When I looked up what I picked last show, I was
all
like...
All the crap I'm giving you right now.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. I even wrote in the notes, Pat's perfect picks. Winnipeg versus Preds, I picked Jets in 7. I picked the Knights in 6, but the Caps in 6 and Bolton 5. And Bolton 5 was the one I got BS for. They're like, you know, good Boston is right now. Boston's rolling. All their that Bergeron line putting up ridiculous numbers against Toronto. And I was like, nah, Tampa's going to shut them down.
Yeah. I was kind of the same boat. The Tampa Bay was obviously the better team. I gave Boston the benefit of the doubt that they might win one at home, maybe. And that never amounted to that. So I picked almost all the same winners, with the exception I thought Nashville would win game 7, enter Pecorine. And then all the other ones I got right, but not the games. I was off on one game on all the series except for Vegas. I had picked in 6.
I think Ducks fans cursed Pecorine with Ducks goaltending history on him for game 7. That way he would fall.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Yeah.
It's all his fault.
So let's give some quick thoughts on each one of those series. Obviously, the Winnipeg offense is the story against the Preds. The fact they were able to put up that many goals in 7 games. It was like 28 goals or 29 goals in 7 games. Nice. They killed it. Mm-hmm. Not much you could say there other than Rene and what happened. What happens?
Yeah, Pecorine for us, I know we've talked in the past, and me personally, is he's that up and down goalie that kind of shows up at certain times, and sometimes he doesn't. So he's a very inconsistent goalie. So it's been actually very surprising how they basically limped into the playoffs last year and then ran amok, and he played outstanding, just beautifully. And the other problem he's always had is injuries. Now he's done a little bit better. I think he does yoga now. So he hasn't been getting the injuries, and he looked great through the regular season. A Vezina probably winner.
He's going to win.
Yeah, or at least should if it's quote-unquote the season stat, not playoffs included. But, it just from Colorado in the first round looked shaky all the way through and all the way to playing against Winnipeg. You're the veteran there. You played enough games. You guys are the top team. You got to be able to make those saves. And he let in 2 soft ones in game 7 right before he got, you know.
They were bad.
They were just bad. And they never recovered. They never scored 2 goals in that game. So, I mean, they couldn't come back just from those 2 goals, let alone whatever happened after him. He took it personally. You know, he said it was my fault. I lost the game. But I think the age factor is probably getting to him a little bit, playing a lot of hockey that he's probably not used to doing, especially with his past injuries and history of not playing as many games as he could potentially play. I don't know how much longer Arena even stays with Nashville before they start kind of moving in a different direction for a goalie.
Juuse Saros is a good goalie.
He is good. He is small, but he is good. He's a great backup. And they had a good backup in Carter Hutton as well, but now he's on St. Louis, and he's doing great things in St. Louis too. So they've got some potential there, but they definitely have stuff to work on. Winnipeg, man, what a fun story.
That's why I don't want Tampa Bay to go to the final. I want the city that's never won a cup to get one. I don't care which one it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Washington.
I kind of care. I want Ovi to win it. But if it's not Ovi, at least he goes to a team that hasn't had one. And it's kind of a bummer that Winnipeg's in Canada.
Because if they win.
Canada to win a cup. Because
you never hear the end of it. Like, it'll just, like, the internet will be haunted with it for years.
It's like the greatest thing that country's ever done is to produce a sport.
Which they don't really win at anymore.
Ever. Unless it's in the Nationals. They get to pluck every best player from the teams around the NHL. We love you, Canada. I'm just teasing.
Yes.
Knights versus the Sharks. That one ended in 6 games, as I prophesized.
Me too.
I don't know, man. Mostly I don't know what to say about that other than Marc-Andre Fleury posting a shutout in game 6 is one hell of a statement on the end of a series here.
Yeah.
It just continues his, I guess you called it a Cinderella story for him, right? Because no one really thought he was going to do what he's done this season and then carried into the playoffs and put up those insane numbers. Good on him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key factor there in that closeout game was that Ryan Reeves finally came back into the lineup.
Oh,
for Vegas.
For Carrier, who was injured, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was really the turning point of the series, was him showing up for that game.
He's just going to scare everybody.
Fleury's just a miracle story. I mean, especially since he knew he won the Stanley Cup back-to-back, and he loves Pittsburgh, all of that stuff, knows he's going to be up for getting picked first, and somber moment, tears had, that sort of deal, goes out there, plays great, the team blows everyone's expectations out of the water, and then he just comes to the playoffs and just dominates and does such a good job. Did it again in against San Jose, and but once again it was that team just kind of builds on it. But if they don't have Marc-Andre Fleury back there making those highlight reel stops, making the routine, making the hard shots look routine, it's probably a different look for that Vegas team. They can still kind of roll the lines, but that defense is suspect without him there.
And, I mean, game one, 7 goals.
Yeah, I mean.
They came out and just destroyed the Sharks in game one.
Yeah, the one thing I'm not looking forward to is every little pregame that Vegas has at home. Those
God,
are the
it's
freaking
awful.
Worst.
They know it's cheeky and stupid, too. You know they do.
And you can say, well, most teams have like a thing. You're like, yeah, but they don't televise it. Like, I don't know why it's getting televised.
Most teams don't do what they do, though. Like, they have
they're going
act.
Like all over. Yeah, medieval times crap. And no,
it's so cheesy.
I hate it. I just that's probably why I would like Winnipeg to win, just because I'm tired of seeing those things. So
the only thing about Winnipeg is that it's Timu, right?
Yeah, and that too.
Timu's a royalty there.
I want him to be happy.
That's it. That's all that matters.
I'm happy if he's happy.
So the Knights move on. Let's talk about the Pens and Caps. Ovi doing some damage in this series, getting the assist on the game winner in overtime, which actually I caught live, which I was like, oh, did he score? Because I couldn't tell at first. And then he does the Dirty Bird celebration, almost a Karate Kid kick, but he's waving his arms.
That was cool. Once I saw him go in, I'm like, oh, man, he's going to – once he like got his legs wide to protect the puck – I'm like, okay, what he's going to do is he's going to open him up and try and slide. Like, I almost could see that play happening as he did it. He still executed it perfectly.
Koozie, baby.
Yeah, but, I mean, when that puck goes from his one side to the other, that's 5-6 feet that the puck is traveling. The goalie has to respect the fact that he could lift it over his pad, so he's got to open up and try and get over. And for all you little goal scorers out there, that's a great way if you've got the opportunities to go way one side, move it quickly, and then dish it through the middle, because that's when the goalie has to open up. And if they don't, you just go around them and score anyway. So.
Well, I mean, and he faced a lot of 2-on-1s. I feel like Matt Murray faced a lot of odd man rushes in this series and was opened up a lot and exposed. But then Pittsburgh defense came back to bite him. Mm-hmm. How the hell did that turn out to be a breakaway?
Yeah.
I mean, Crosby gets pickpocketed at the blue line by Ovi, gets knocked free. Ovi gets the puck back, sends it up the middle. What the hell is Letang?
Letang. So
was it Letang and Mata on the same line? Or
I don't remember the other one.
I forgot who his defensive partner was. But why were they so up on the play at the blue line already?
I don't know.
They were all of Pittsburgh on the rush. They were in the neutral zone all together. The defensemen were on the red line, and Crosby just entered the offensive zone. So by the time it got turned over, and Koozie just goes right at the middle, and Ovi just had to like flick the puck between the defenders. I don't know how that ends a breakaway. That's an awful play by Chris Letang.
It's a little rough, but then again, if you're thinking about if you're Chris Letang, you're coming down and you see Crosby with it. How often do you think Crosby's going to give it up at the blue line?
Dude,
I mean, my money's on him not giving it up or doing a good play with it. And credit to Ovechkin, I actually get in the way of that. And then he's heading the wrong way. But, I mean, he even was able to kind of get back. And Kuznetsov made a hell of a play to kind of isolate him away from the puck, shield it with his leg. Like you said, he got the wide stance on it. But, yeah, Letang, missed a lot on not only that play,
bad.
But throughout the series. And Pittsburgh's depth wasn't there, especially down the middle. They didn't have Bonino. They didn't have Matt Cullen. So
Malkin missed some of the series, too.
Yeah, exactly. So he had his own weird injury where he looked like he tried to hurt the other guy and ended up hurting himself when they both fell down. Hagelin was injured for a while. So the injuries kind of caught up with them. They didn't have as much depth that they've had in the past. And
they had no Flower to replace Murray in that.
Exactly. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, Matt Murray, everyone talked about how big his game is and what a great goalie he was. I mean, it's tough to play that way year after year with all the hockey they've been playing. Yeah. I'm not trying to say he's a bad goalie or anything, but
he's a very good goalie.
Times change, and in Pittsburgh, when you lose a lot of depth, it's just kind of what happens in any team. You start losing players you expect to be there. Look at Chicago, same thing. Corey Crawford carried that team all season, and then they had no depth. Couldn't finish off the regular season.
Yep, that's a salary cap era. It's tough to get back-to-backs, let alone three-peats. It's so hard, I don't think you'll ever see it again.
The Jets stamp out the Preds in round two in Nashville. The Knights stamp out the Sharks.
Six in San Jose.
The Caps do it to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. The Bolts were the only ones that decided to clean it up at home in game five.
In front of the home fans.
They got tired of being licked. So that's like the biggest story about this series is that Brad Marchand's disgusting and a despicable human being on the ice. He's trash.
He's a very, very good player. Look at his
stats.
When
he plays hockey.
Yes, when he plays hockey.
I mean, 85 points in 68 games is not a bad way to play the game.
Absolutely not. He needs to focus
so dirty.
A little bit more on that. It's just, ew. It's just gross.
Dude, the headshots this season. He was allowed to play in the All-Star game. And then we concussed somebody who was suspended. And they still let him play in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I don't like him at all. And I mean, obviously he doesn't care. And
yeah.
He's easily on Twitter and replies right back to people who trash him, calling people fat all the time. I think he told Eric Ingles. Eric Ingles said something about him. And he's like, oh, well, if you ever get a flat tire, you can always use the one around your neck. And I was like, oh, my God. Jesus. He fires right back.
That's funny.
And like, the Montreal Canadiens said something to him. And he wrote back. And he was like, oh, real cool to talk about when you guys were out of the playoffs in October.
Yeah, right.
Right at the start of the season. Lines.
Yeah.
So he's funny, but he's also disgusting.
Yeah.
Licking Ryan Callahan on the mouth up into his nose.
Through his nose, it felt like.
Dude, I think, was it Paul Bissonnette who commented saying that he would have beat the hell out of him? Or was it Stu Grimson? I thought it was somebody, one of the fighters commented that they would have just, I would have beat the hell out of him. Like, somebody, I wish I had the damn player's name.
Huh.
So they were pissed about it.
Like, you should have researched
it. I did. I just forgot to grab that piece.
Sure.
But, so my question to you is, I mean, who cares about the Bolts winning? The real question is Brad Marchand done licking?
He says he is. He finally, there was an initial rumor that the NHL had asked him to stop. You know, hey, don't do that. And then he quickly came back and said, nope, no one ever said that to me. And then that had to do with the first round when he had
licked Komarov.
Leo Komarov. And then so now he did that one. It was so gnarly. They got so many pictures on it. Now they finally said, listen, it's going to be like, I think it's like an unsportsmanlike or something like that. Teams can get a penalty for it. There's some rule in there that is that you can't, it's not licking, but it's like I said, it's like unsportsmanlike or a code of conduct that they have to be upheld with respect to other players, things like that, that they kind of cited. And he even came out and said, and it's, you know, been reported, he's like, yeah, I got to knock that crap off, you know. So
he got a call from Colin Campbell.
Yeah, he did. So he was finally told after this last one, cut the crap. All right, knock it off. Because, I mean, at this point, you can do that or you can spit. It's all the same in our book, I would think. So, I mean, I feel, yeah, he's probably done with it. He'll figure something else out to annoy people.
I mean,
he's creative.
It's like Sweeney in Boston and then Bruce Cassidy were talking about, like, his character. Like, what do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah.
Like, you've gained respect around the league as an offensive talent, and then here you are being dirty and doing all the extra crap.
He's got a Stanley Cup under his belt, so.
And you're licking people during the NHL's most prized time of the year where people who aren't fans actually tune in and watch because all these games are hyped because it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then they make the headlines for licking people. It's like, what? Brad, what
Brad,
would your mother
down,
say
Brad.
To you? Does your mom watch hockey? Does he have a family? I don't know. Like, that's so...
I know why he's doing it, and he's doing.
No, I don't. You could do anything. You could cup check somebody. You could slash him in the back of the leg. You could cross check somebody.
I think he's done all that.
Do that. You could fight, which he doesn't like to do.
Foot.
Yeah. Oh, he loves doing that too.
Yeah,
but like, there's little things, you know, cross checking guy right above the pads in the back of the lower back.
He's.
Oh, let me lick your face, dude. How Ryan Callahan didn't put a hole through his head with his fist is like just beyond me. He like wanted. You could tell he wanted to hit him, but he's like, I just. What did you just do, dude?
The thing is, I think he's like, I think Marchand is waiting for a homophobic response where someone is going, dude, you're a man, you just licked me, and now I'm going to just lose my S. But the guys he's done it to, everyone's like, knock it off.
Dude,
children
why
do
are you
this.
Licking me?
Children do this. Stop it. It's like no one's like, I think that's what he's going for because he does it, and then he immediately just stands there and looks to the side and waits to get popped. Like he's looking to get hits after that and draw a penalty. And it's just like he's looking for some sort of response that's going to help his team out. And it's like, you can don't do that. Focus on the game, score a goal, and you don't have to worry about drawing penalties. You don't have to be that guy.
No, almost 90 points this year. Didn't even play a full season.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's get to our list. We'll start with you first.
Okay.
Take a break in playoff action and news. We only have a couple news items to go over anyway after this. It'll be quick.
So
we got some lists.
Yeah, so sportsbreak.com put out this list, I'm guessing probably about a year ago or
2003.
Something. Yeah, I know. Who knows? They don't tell you who wrote it, when they wrote
it. Will the NHL be locked out in 2004?
Yeah, right. Who is the best player of this year's 1999 teams? So this one is 15 things the NHL should change to save itself.
Oh boy.
Now, I know you are a huge critic of the NHL and how they do things. And
they're the worst marketed league on the planet,
they
sir.
Could do so many more things. So most of
just
these.
Just hire me.
I'm strangely available. Yeah, weird. Most of these things are things that would be happening in the game.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, marketing or whatever like that. So I just wanted to get your opinion on it. Think it's a good idea, or if it, you know, blows your mind, and we'll get in depth on it. All right. So number 15, take out the trapezoid and allow goalies to play the puck behind the goal.
Yes.
Think that's a good one?
Yep. And allow the goalies to get hit, too.
I don't think you can do that. I think they're like the kicker or the punter in football.
Yeah, let them play. That's a dumb rule. That's dumb.
It's just they can't defend themselves, and you can't really see.
And they never
like
get the call right. Sometimes goalies will play it in there, and the ref misses it anyway. There's no penalty. Just let them play the damn puck.
All right, so let them play. See, let them use their skills. If that's a skill they've learned to do, let them take it.
Yeah, as long as you're not John Gibson.
Yeah. as long as you're not the goalie we want.
Yeah, as long as you're not the goalie on the team I like, wander, please.
All right, number 14, ban fighting, but also penalize headhunters severely.
Ooh,
would you say ban fighting? Because I know me and you are both in agreeance.
That it's kind of dumb.
That penalizing headhunters severely is a yes.
If you're
headhunting, make it severe. Make it, double-digit games minimum and, you know, a very low tolerance. 1, 2, 3 times you're out type of deal.
No,
but ban fighting.
I can't. No,
can't
I
do it? Fighting. Okay.
Stage fights.
I can't.
Ban stage fights.
Okay.
I don't want to ban. You wouldn't ban fighting? You
wouldn't? No.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
All right.
Number 13.
Just can't do
this. This one's good. No more trade deadline, but allow teams to expand rosters. So where the trade deadline happens, instead of doing basically all trading would have to be in the off season, nothing in season and not a trade deadline. But what you can do in place of the trade deadline is now expand your roster. What that allows you to do is teams that are maybe out of it and not really going to make it, they can start bringing in some prospects, see how they play. The teams that are going to make it maybe don't have really important games against teams that can really affect them. They can actually have some of their prospects play and give their bigger players a little bit more rest before a playoff run. The other thing, too, is he's saying that at the trade deadline, how often does someone make a trade and that player they get wins the Conn Smythe? I mean, it's never really a hugely impactful player. It's really just a roll of the dice. And for the most part, it's really kind of like let off. Now it's the salary cap era. Most of teams don't make huge, big trades at the trade deadline. This one was actually kind of active. But for the most part, you don't see huge trades happen.
No, it's usually the draft and usually free agency where they really start to happen. But no, keep it.
Keep it.
Yeah.
Because it still makes some time.
I don't give a shit about your prospects.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, all right, number 12, take away icing for shorthanded teams. So teams that are shorthanded, if you ice it, you get called for icing. It comes back. You cannot change your players out.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Yeah. So that would make the teams that are shorthanded at least have to try and get to the middle ice. That increases power play numbers, increases goals, excitement, kind of really, really hammers away.
Players will never go for that.
Yeah, no. A, and then B, I would think. But, I mean, it could bring down hitting.
Chance of injury, all that stuff,
too. Well, it could also bring down injuries as far as people taking penalties or runs. Now you're thinking, not only are we shorthanded, we're really shorthanded, and we can't get out of the zone unless we're out skating the other team. So might bring penalties down. All right, number 11, send the NHL's best to the Olympics every 4 years. Yes, we agree.
100%.
I knew you'd agree with that one. So we want that. Some people don't. Number 10, visiting teams wear dark uniforms, which I remember back in the day because the NHL is flip flop.
I like that. I'd rather see the away teams like nice jerseys. I mean, everyone's got the white jersey. The dark jerseys are the ones everyone wants to see.
Exactly. So it's like the white jerseys all kind of look like a white jersey. You don't see any color if they're the visiting team coming in with a white jersey, and your home team jersey is the same every time too. So you only see those two colors, white and whatever your
team. The reason the NHL flipped that, I don't understand.
I don't know. They flipped it a few times. So now it would be the opposite. The away team comes in and you could see sparkling red, you could see deep orange, light blue. All the colors of the rainbow will be represented and your team just wears white.
Yeah, just start wearing the away jerseys
again. I like it. All right, number 9, allow linesmen to call penalties too.
I mean, they can.
They have the ability for delay of games over the ice and too many men on the ice. So they can call a couple of penalties, but they can't call infractions. And what they're saying is, hey, if they see one, they should be able to help call it, talk to the ref, tell them what they see. Because now the game is so fast, so quick, and you have to look at so many different things. Even with two refs, things get missed pretty obviously.
Oh.
But then again, if you start going to playoffs.
I don't want it.
Because then there's just too many penalties, and now you got four different views
on
one play.
I don't think you need that. Yeah, just leave it.
All right.
You miss it.
So no on that one. All right, number 8. Eliminate the puck over glass penalty. Wait. And allow safety nets. Allow the safety net. And allow safety net pucks to be live. So if they clear it over, but it hits the net and jumps back in, then it's a live puck.
No.
Not.
No.
No.
No. It's out of bounds. No. Keep it a penalty.
All right. So keep it a penalty, and safety net it's out. It's not live. That would add excitement.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe seeing where it jumps to. That'd be interesting.
Piss off Kings fans.
Right, again. All right, number 7. This one you're not going to like. The NHL needs to contract teams, not expand teams.
Oosh. They need to move teams. Like, Carolina shouldn't have a team.
But, yeah, I mean.
Panthers shouldn't have a team.
Yeah, and what there's.
Ottawa shouldn't have a
team. Other than the NFL, all the other ones, the NBA or the baseball, they all have 30 teams. NFL is 32 and the NHL is 31. But the viability also depends on strong markets with strong teams. So you have those weak teams that don't quite make it, and you see a live show and there's 8,000 fans trying to fill 20,000 seats. It's kind of not a good look all over the place.
Yeah,
it's got some points, but me personally, I'm more of a fan of the more the merrier. And if it gives more talent, a team, we may never see William Karlsson doing what he's doing if he was never given a chance to be on an expansion team or given that opportunity. He probably would have been pigeonholed into, he's a third or fourth line guy, and we never see the greatness or potential he has. So I think with the overall talent and the parity within the league, I think it's fine to expand that because teams and players are getting so much better. There's a lot more talent out there than there used to be.
Yeah, but I feel like people are saying there's not enough talent on each team. Like, it'd be more exciting to have like a Winnipeg Jets lineup.
Spend some money, people. Get some good people.
Well, a lot of that's just all like homegrown. Yeah. I mean, they're getting players in the draft, and they're. I mean, look at Toronto. Yeah, of course, it's easy when you have to pick between Auston Matthews, right, and whoever else is on there. But I mean, when you get him, you get William Nylander, you get Mitch Marner, you get all these guys in the draft. They're not going out and spending money on them. They're going to have to spend soon.
Yeah,
and
you get
Toronto's
a small
got their
window.
Hands full here coming up here with contracts, but. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you got to win. Everyone dogged on Winnipeg, and look at all their draft picks are come alive, and now they're
finally
killing it.
Yeah. All right, number 6, no more offside challenges. I know where you stand on this.
100%. It's so stupid.
Let the officials make the calls.
Yeah, if they blow it, they blow it. Whatever. Who cares? Yeah.
All right. Number 5, no more draft. Free agency only. So once they all become of age, they can sign with whatever team they want. Let's see. I don't know if he said so you can bid, but then you have to. It's almost like drafting, but you're bidding and trying to get the players that you want that are young and trying to build your team up that way, versus an Edmonton team, or it helps prevent teams from tanking at the end of the year to try and get a better draft pick. It eliminates that as a possibility, and then eliminates Edmonton getting the first pick 4 out of 5 years.
No, I would say keep the draft, but get rid of the RFA.
Restricted free agent.
Don't screw the guy when he gets drafted at 18, and so you're stuck. We control you until you're 27. I hate that. Like,
yeah, that would have made more sense when there wasn't a salary cap, because then they'll just chase the money immediately. And
right.
Teams that have that big fan base, and your Toronto's back then, it was Detroit. Everyone would just go over there and sign and follow the money because the money was there. Now teams can't just do that without really handicapping themselves.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Buffalo would be able to attract Rasmus Dahlin?
Yeah. All right.
No. He would never go there. Oh, no draft? I'm not going to go. Okay.
Yeah, he's not going to sign.
Bye. I'm going to go to Toronto and be their best defenseman.
Yeah.
and win a cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, yeah, I'll be their best defenseman. I'll take low pay now, prove that I'm a winner, that I can do it, and then I'll get payday after a while. So
draft's
yeah, I agree with
stay.
You. That's good.
Get rid of the RFA status, though. I hate that they can just trap players. Yeah. It creates bad environments too, because if the player ends up not wanting to be there and not getting the playing time or what he thinks he deserves, he's trapped unless the team wants to trade him.
Okay. All right. Number four, eliminate the shootout. And they have in quotations, please.
Yes.
All right.
I agree with that.
So what do you do in replacement of that?
3-on-3 till it ends.
Till it ends? Just keep going?
Yeah.
No way. You can't do that.
No, can't
do it. Can't do it in the regular season with so many games going on, and then arenas have something else going on the next night, and they need everything, you know, as far as their timing, their time frame. What they have suggested in this article is that they play 3 to 5 minutes of 3-on-3, then 3 to 5 minutes of 2-on-2.
Oh, God.
And then finally, 3 to 5 minutes 1-on-1. If a winner isn't determined, then it just becomes a tie. What's wrong with a tie?
15 minutes of overtime? You'd rather just not have 3-on-3 for 15 minutes?
Do that, I guess. But I think they're trying to determine a winner. And how great would that be if you see Connor McJesus and Crosby 1-on-1?
It'd be so boring.
Oh, it'd be so good.
So boring.
So anyways, that's their suggestion. I'm fine with the shootout. It doesn't bother me as it seems to bother everybody else. If you can't figure it out in 3-on-3, 5 minutes, yeah, just go to shootout. Let's get this thing over with. Breakaways are exciting. That's my opinion.
Can be.
All right. Award more points for regulation wins.
Yes.
So instead of doing two wins,
three points.
Win in regulation, you get three. If you win in overtime, you get two. If you lose in a shootout, you get one.
Right.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Number two, bring back the best versus the worst playoff format. So 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6,
yep.
4 versus 5. Not do that. I would disagree. I don't like that. The reason being is the way that they set it up with a divisional matchup, you're going to play against your rivals more often. It's a little bit more heated, in my opinion.
Yeah, but now the best round of the playoffs is round two.
Well, look what happened. You have Vegas as the top team out of the
Pacific,
and Winnipeg was the second. On the east side, you have the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. Well, I take that back. Boston was technically the second best team, but Washington was the best in the Atlantic. The Metropolitan, and Tampa is the best in the Atlantic. So it still kind of plays out. No one really gets kicked out. You just might see it a little bit earlier, and it's still exciting to watch one way or the other.
I would rather go back to the old way.
All right. Very last one. Number one. What is it? So this one gets a little bit more involved, but it's ditch the hard salary cap and bring in a soft one with a luxury tax.
So baseball.
What baseball does, and that is, here's the salary cap. You can go past that, but then you are going to be dinged a luxury tax, and that tax goes to the teams at the bottom. So the teams that have the lowest payroll or the lowest revenue end up getting some of that money so that they can potentially buy free agents or, you know, acquire the services of free agents.
Mm.
I like the hard cap, in my opinion. It just makes GMs have to be smarter with what they're doing.
And it also kills trades.
It does kill trades as well. The other thing, too, is that's what helps bring the speed that we're at right now, because with a hard cap, you pay your big players when they win, and now they are a majority of your salary cap. You got to bring in young, new talent that's usually faster and skilled skating-wise, and that's why we're seeing the Vegases, the Winnipegs, the younger teams with that speed, and it's no longer a size and skill game. It's a speed and skill game. So
yeah,
I
like the hard cap too, but I also like the idea of more trades, and they just don't see too many anymore with the salary cap era.
It's a little tough.
So that was your list.
Yes.
I don't want to spend too much on this because
that
I know
that one took forever.
We're trying to get this show moving today. Yeah. So mine is just it's a quick one, but I kind of wanted to talk to you about the goaltending around the league and the eyes
specialty.
Of contract. The top 10 highest cap hits amongst goalies for next season coming up. So all the contracts that were signed. I just want you to give me the overpaid or underpaid.
Okay.
So this will be quick.
Yeah.
Start at the bottom. The lowest paid.
Out of the top 10.
No, the lowest paid of the high, the lowest of the highest. We'll start at the bottom of the 10.
You just confused the hell out of me.
Okay. So the top 10, the guy's getting paid the least.
This
is still the highest cap hits. He's just at the top 10. He's at the bottom.
Yeah, okay. It's number 10.
John Quick, $5.8 million.
Definitely great.
So is that overpaid, or is he right where he's at, or underpaid? I think it's perfect for him.
It's either perfect or slightly underpaid, given
under? I'd go
I'm not saying huge. I'm saying he could be a 6 mil guy, for sure.
Yeah, he'll hold 200,000 more.
Yep.
Varlamov, 5.9. I think he's overpaid.
He's too injury prone. He's also not on the greatest of teams, which kind of helps promote injuries, I would say. He's a good goalie, but you've got to see more out of him, and he's got to stay healthy.
All right. Corey Schneider, $6 million.
That's good.
I think it's right on the money.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good on.
Corey Crawford, $6 million.
Under.
Ooh, underpaid.
Underpaid for what he does to that team.
I could lean
that
way, too. I could lean that way, too.
I mean, he could be up to 6.5, 7. I mean, he's not going to be the top dog, but, I mean, his numbers are always good, and that team lives and dies by him, just like Quick. And I think that's kind of, I guess, my factor is what's his value to the team, and, you know, can it work? So I think his value to the team is definitely higher than 6 mil.
Braden Holtbeast, $6.1 million. I'd say
that's pretty good, or once again, I think
he's
underpaid. I would
lean towards 7.
Yeah, I would say he's a little bit higher, especially at 28 years right now. So, I mean, he's in his prime and could continue to go on. So they got a bargain for him.
All right, now we're in the top 5. Tuukka Rask, $7
million. He is a good goalie.
Money in the playoffs, sir. He is money in the playoffs. Tuukka Rask. His career
what was
numbers.
What was that, 17 goals or 17 seconds, 2 goals? They lost the cup.
Dude, 9.24 save percentage. 9.24 save percentage in the playoffs.
He's good, but he's also streaky. And how much is he getting paid? 7?
7. I give you things right on the money for him. Right there.
I think that's good enough because, yeah. It's good enough. He's fine.
Number 4, Pekka Rinne, $7
million. No.
He's overpaid.
He's a great goalie, but same thing with Varlamov. If the team's not great in front of him, he's not going to be particularly great. And on top of that, he's injury prone. You know, he's kind of quelled that the last season and a half here. That's too much for someone that has never won a cup. And is kind of in the twilight.
He's not
a
920 goalie in the regular season all time either. His career stats are 919, and his career playoff stats are 915. That's backup regular season quality goaltending.
Now, if you had asked me at the beginning of the playoffs, I'd say, yeah, he's probably about 7, at least for what I've seen. But then this playoffs just kind of brought it back to where he usually is.
All right, number 3, Sergei Bobrovsky, $7.4 million. I think that's perfect for him. I think
that's
great goalie.
Yeah, he's one of the tops all the way around. He's paid his dues. He's made Columbus a contender.
Biggies are up next. The top 2, Henrik Lundqvist, $8.5 million.
The value to the team, once again, in this
He's dragged this New York team around the past several seasons. He's the only reason why they were relevant for a long time.
Exactly. And, you know, they came within a couple of wins of the Stanley Cup a little while ago. Yeah, he hasn't won it, but once again, I feel it. He is that team. He can identify as that team. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. You pay the man for what he's worth. He's one of the highest winning goalies of all time. Just everywhere. He's a good guy, good person to have on the team, and he's worth that.
All right, Carey Price, last one, 10.5. Man, you asked me 2 seasons ago.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, that's money. That's perfect.
Yeah, you got to
pay him.
He's
the best goalie ever.
Absolutely.
Period. Carey Price has not been Carey Price. Injuries, not coming back from injuries, in his old self. He hasn't played well. He hasn't looked good. Yeah. That really might hamper what's happening in Montreal with that contract, and then Shea Weber's contract combined is just ruthless. $20 million in 2 players one injury filled and one guy who's old.
Yeah.
That's a problem in Montreal.
Yeah.
Is it Carey Price underpaid or overpaid?
He's overpaid. I would say 2 years ago, watching his form, what he does, is once again value to the team, you could make the argument 10 mil, 10.5 million needs to be the highest paid goalie. Because at that point he really was the best goalie. He's still technically one of the best goalies as far as technicality, which he can combine with his overall skill as a goalie, his determination, the ability to make saves when he's down and out. He can do that. He does it very well. So does Jonathan Quick. The stats aren't there. But that can also be a little bit more of a team problem, and not necessarily him. But this season, when I saw him play, it was a lot of easy ones. Easy ones that went by.
Dude,
it never did.
Dangerous to pay a guy, no matter what position he plays, a year before his contract's up. right? I mean, so you're paying him. He's got one more year, and then his contract kicks in. So if he has a bad year, gets injured in that last year, you're stuck with that next contract.
That's always a problem. You can sign anybody for a lot of money, and it's always a risk of injury. We signed Patrick Eves, and he didn't play.
But it's
like
guaranteed money too. It's not like the NFL. You get hurt, you're done. The team doesn't pay you. In NHL, you guaranteed cash.
That's weird. I didn't know that about the NFL. I figured if he signed a contract, he's getting paid.
No, they don't pay. Huh. If you're out, you're out. As far as I know, the way that works. So that was the goaltending thing that I saw that I wanted to ask you about. Now, quickly here, we got to run through a few things just because it's some light news. A new GM in Toronto, the youngest GM ever, the 17th GM in franchise history. Dubas.
Ever? What about that dude in Arizona?
John Chaykia, right? Yeah, maybe he's the youngest.
I thought he was like 20-something.
Yeah, this guy's 32, so maybe he's one of the youngest.
Yeah. Definitely, he's younger than us. So
Kyle Dubas takes over. He was also the GM of the Marlies, which is the affiliate in the AHL for Toronto. Yep. Lou Lamoriello, as we all knew, we talked about it last show, after his contract, was told to be a senior advisor. So he's not in the ways of being a GM. He's built just one hell of a team there, though.
Yep.
Lou's done a great job with Brendan Shanahan and Mike Babcock. Dubas,
yes,
coming in. I figure the first thing that I think that everyone's going to be bothering about is, dude, get a defenseman. Can we get a defenseman on this team? That's going to be his first tall order, and then next would be looking at the draft, I'd feel like.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They've got their superstar forwards. They got young ones that are going to be around for a while.
Freddie's a good goalie.
Freddie is a very capable goalie when he needs to be and when he's got the support of it. So, yeah, Mike Babcock was really great in Detroit when he had a Lidstrom, and it doesn't seem to transfer as well, even though he's got a wealth of offensive talent. If you can't keep the puck out of your net or you're making your goalie play the most games in the NHL and face the most shots in the NHL, eventually come playoff time, there's going to be a letdown at some point. So you got to have some defense there somewhere. Sorry, Roman Pawlak, I know you've done admirably.
He's one of our two listeners, so he's going to be very sad when he hears this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. But yeah, so they've got to find some way to get some offense from the back end, because that's where it's going to transfer to the forwards and also keep the puck out of their own net.
So that's the changes there. The other little piece of that is Lou was all rumors going around that he's not going to stay a senior advisor. He's going to walk from that.
And say what?
All the rumors are he's going to the Islanders in some form. As the owner there was talking about looking at his management team and seeing what needs to be done. Garth Snow, I'm going to say Garth Brooks. In my head, I was like, Garth Brooks.
We're done talking about Nashville.
Yeah. Garth Snow is not a beloved person in New York, and he has so many expectations on him with this team that we all thought was going in the right direction. This year took a dump. Mm-hmm. Their goaltending was just atrocious.
Yeah.
The worst in the league, I think, by far.
Yeah. It's hard to think Halak's going to be back.
Hasn't signed John Tavares, and Tavares does the whole good Canadian thing. I'm going to stay here. I love it here. I don't want to play anywhere else
until that's signed. That's all.
Yeah, I hope he leaves. I hope he does. They don't deserve him. I mean, that team doesn't deserve him. This city does. I understand the fans want him there, but that team doesn't deserve a player of that caliber.
The team's done what they can to try and get him. I think adding Lou as a possible GM or some sort of
senior
front office
operations
or whatever,
hockey ops, or
might help him come back a little bit, but I don't think it's the deal breaker that really goes, oh, they're getting Lou? Where do I sign?
Yeah, no, I'm in.
Well, yeah, all the way. No, I don't think
an 80-year-old man's going to work for my team? Sign the contract,
oh,
sir.
My gosh. I'll sign for $1 million less. I don't know what he's going to do. Obviously, only he will know. But I don't think that's particularly the anchor that keeps him in Long Island. But didn't you say Lou's son?
Lou's son works for the Islanders in some capacity. So they're saying that might be the reason why make it easy for him to go there.
Yeah.
Plus, Lou's got a lot of clout. I mean, that guy's done a lot of work.
Yeah, if he's not done
around
ready
the NHL,
to,
right?
And if he's not ready to retire and wants to be involved, he that's kind of a good transition. He can work with his son like every dad wants to.
Yeah, his son is the director of player personnel since August 2016. So that's kind of a little bit of information there that maybe would have him leaning to going to the Islanders.
Yeah, and Garth Snow, it's time for him to go. He's not done a great job. How he has a job, I'm not quite sure, because it's just It's been bad.
He's terrible.
He's not a good...
He made some good deals. Remember a couple of years ago, we're like, oh, maybe he's not all that crazy. Bad.
But, yeah, no, it's just the fact that he can't, you know, can't... it's just not... I don't know.
Can you name the goalies there, by the way?
Yeah, it's Greiss and
Hull. Ugh.
Thomas Greiss wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad. The team is bad. He wasn't good. Halak is not going to be a savior. So, I mean, at that point, they have to kind of look. And Greiss is old, too, now. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do as far as their goaltending stuff. So that could be another factor why Tavares maybe doesn't want to go there, is that there's no goalie depth. And as great as he is offensively and consistent as he is he going to waste the middle part of his, you know, basically the prime? This contract could possibly be his last contract. 27, he's going to be 28 in September. At that point, he's looking at a $7 or $8 million or 8-year contract to go there. I mean, that's the rest of his career. Is he going to stick in Long Island and think, hey, maybe it'll turn around the next 5 years?
Of course it will. Of course it will.
Talk to the owner. He thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
But
they got a building deal was a big problem. they resolved that. They did it very well too. I thought that we talked about that was a great deal for the Islanders. Yeah. So. Let's wrap here with Rod the Bod. So he's actually the new coach in Carolina,
which I like to think we called.
Yes,
we by mistaking his name for Ron Francis.
Of course.
Yes.
Rod the Bod is now the coach, and one of the big things that he already has implemented over Bill Peters, no co-captains this year. Oh. You will have a captain.
I thought you said Coke captains.
Coke. Kings.
That's how they have so much jump in their step.
So Bill Peters last year did this thing where it was like he had two captains, Jordan Staal and Justin Falk, and they alternated the C between home and away, which is kind of dumb.
Stupid.
Pick one leader, and that's your leader. Let the players vote on it. That's it. Ta-da. Look, it's all over with. That's what their leader is what they want to lead them. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
We'll see if he implements the same thing in Calgary, because that's where Peters is going, obviously. But Rod the Bod in charge.
There's the guy.
And I have just the weirdest feeling about this Carolina team, because they've always been the top possession team, right? And then we saw Scott Darling come over here and shit his pants all season.
Yeah.
And I remember the play that sticks out in my mind all year for him is him trying to catch the infield fly ball and goes right past his glove, right past his head into the net. Yeah. And I was like,
didn't even move.
God.
He probably lost it in the sun.
So. Bright lights, baby. Can't handle it out there.
It's not a good start for Scott Darling, but I feel that he can rebound. This team, once again, they did a lot of good things in the offseason.
Everyone wants to pick them.
Yeah, I thought they'd make the playoffs. I thought they did enough of the right things, got the right personnel in there to do it. And we'll see what the fitness fanatic Rod the Bod Brind'Amour will instill on that team. Hopefully some a bigger voice, especially for maybe younger players. And we'll have to see, because I haven't really seen what he does as far as coaching.
Oh, I believe Tom Dundon, right? The guy that owns the team. He said he's a throws out strategy, right? You got to win with you got to win with
the heart and chemistry.
That's way more important than having a, you know, a strategy on how to win hockey games.
Yeah. It's like, hey, beat them.
I don't understand that. I mean, that's like the dumbest thing. That's like something that we would hear from Team USA's management team. They need a lot of leader grit. We wear our hearts on our sleeves in this locker room.
Blue collar.
Yeah, we feel the pain of everybody. We have the blue collar workers in here. We're gonna go out and try to win this World Cup of Hockey thing.
We're gonna lug our lunch pails all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Thanks, Dean Lombardi.
My
God. So what was the exact quote? I got to reread that. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
It was, we've been tweeting quite a bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've come to the conclusion that strategy is overrated, pretty overrated. I don't believe that strategy differences are as important as getting the right culture and attitude.
It's that word culture.
What was what was it? No, not yeah, that when they got rid of Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
But it was Team USA, Dean Lombardi. We have a culture of caring.
That was the dumbest thing ever.
Got a culture of caring here. Yeah. That's great. That's awesome.
Now, come up with a damn game plan, and then if you guys start winning, then you'll see a culture of caring.
Because then
everyone's happy, everyone's doing win, and strategy is going to help that. And if there's no strategy, there's no game plan, there's no this is the road we're traveling, everyone get on board, and we'll make it there. It's, everyone's really happy with each other, and this is a good feeling, but this guy's going that way. They want to go this way. And then it doesn't work.
I mean,
you have to have a clear goal of what needs to be done and try and perfect it and do it better than the other team tries to do theirs. And if you win, then you'll get your culture.
Well, I got to say, so any owners out there that would rather
hire
somebody that has strategy than somebody that doesn't care about it and thinks culture is more important. I'm oddly available for a job right now.
I think I'd be a great GM. I could be co-coach.
Yeah, I'd even be assistant GM. You just bring me up the baby steps, the ladder, and be Kyle Dubas-ish.
You'll be a coach for the home games, and I'll be coach for the away games.
Oh, we'll do a Bill Peters-esque.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be coach.
I don't know shit about coaching. I think I could do the GM job. That was pretty easy.
Shake
a lot of hands, kiss babies.
Smile.
Go around, smile, take pictures.
Yeah, politicking.
And then just be a bobblehead for whatever your owner wants. That's a great deal. Let's just give him all of our money. I knew him.
It's a player's fault. Look at that. No, it's the coach's fault.
It's never me.
The scouting's bad. The goalie's old.
It's always something. It's always something.
That's why they keep their jobs for so freaking long.
Yeah, I love how the coach gets fired way more often than a GM. And like the GM's the one that gives the players the ice every night. It's like if your team sucks, you kind of got to look at maybe it's a coaching issue, but it might be the personnel that you've given your team to play.
Yeah, that's kind of my opinion too. GMs tend to stay around longer for a couple of reasons. One, they're good at selling themselves. So they've got to go to an owner and say, "Listen, here it is. This is what we got to do. Here's how it went wrong. This little thing here, that little thing." But the plan is still in place. So you get more of the 5, 6, 8 years of a GM trying to work a plan out versus a coach that, you know, if they're not winning, they're the first ones to go. Plus, if you get rid of a GM, you have to get rid of everybody else under him.
Right.
I mean, you basically just kind of clean house because now you'll have a new GM who maybe will have a different idea of where they need to go, and that coach doesn't fit it or those players don't fit it. So it's more involved, so they're more reluctant to just clean house like that.
And it's more about managing people nowadays, I feel like, than it is making trades and all that stuff. It's like you got to
– sure.
He's kind of like – he's from – managing different personalities too because they're all from different parts of the world. So I understand that part might be difficult, but the whole – why don't you bring some brains with you when you go to the trading table, guys? Or when you go to sign a contract? That's the part I'm looking at these GMs. I'm like, well, why did you give Kevin Bieksa no move clause?
Yeah.
What is wrong? He hasn't worn a duck sweater. What are you doing? Was this part of Ryan Kessler's contract clause? You have to sign my buddy. What was it? Anyway, that's the show for the week. We will be back next week with a mid.
Round
update.
Depends how quickly
and whatever is going to be going on.
Yeah.
But that'll probably be it for us. We appreciate it. Go check us out at thegruelingtruth.net. If it's not up, go to Twitter because it's the site's being moved right now. But that's where to find us. And as always, check us out on social media: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Puck Guys Podcast. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.